When we worship God, we come to this place many times and we do it to worship Him, and it conjures up many different emotions during the course of worship. Many different emotions and thoughts come to our minds, and worship is very emotional. And we're going to look at several different emotions that happen at different times and in different circumstances, and it varies from person to person, the reaction or emotion that they may have and that they may carry during the course of worship. And one of the things that comes up, one of the emotions that come to my mind, is the emotion of silence. And just a moment ago, it was complete silence in this room. If silence is done when you are showing, you know, reverence or quietness or something important is going on. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. When God is on the throne, we should just be just as silent as we would be before the King. The Lord is in His holy temple, number 685. The idea of being in awe of someone. I remember the first time that Haley ever laid her eyes on me. And I spoke to her and I said, "Hi, ma'am." It's just awe, you know. But it's a different type of reverence and a different type of awe when we come before God. It's a feeling of that deep, deep respect. We esteem Him highly above all things. We know that He is powerful, that He is almighty, that He truly is the Creator, and that He is God. And for those very reasons, we have reverence and we have awe unto Him. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13 says, "The Lord Almighty is the one who you regard as holy. He is the one who you are to fear. He is the one who you are to dread." God is the one whom you should have fear of. God is the one whom you should be watching out for. He is the one that can destroy both body and soul. It is God Almighty. Not to be worried about what man might do to you or what man can do to you, but to fear God, to have that reverence toward God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says this, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear." If you'd like to, you may stand while we sing this song. It's number one in the supplement, "I Stand in Awe." Contrition. Psalms chapter 51, verse 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." In Luke chapter 18, Jesus speaks of a tax collector and a Pharisee who go down to the temple to pray. And if you remember those prayers, the Pharisee begins to pray to God and brag on himself about all the things that he does, about how he gives and he tithes and how he fasts, all these fasts twice a week, how holy and how great he is. "Thank you, Lord, that I am not like this tax collector over here." If you'll remember the tax collector's prayer, it was, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." He had that broken spirit, that contrite heart. And Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went away more justified than the other." The tax collector, because of his heart, because of his prayer, because of his desire to draw near to God, and he knew that his sin did not draw him near to God. And it was on those things that is why he left more justified. Because he knew he was in the wrong. He knew that he needed to be made right. He knew that God could be the one to restore him back. We'll sing number 436, "Nearer Still, Nearer." We'll sing only the second verse of this song. As with so many times, we come to God's throne of grace with an attitude, with an emotion of gratitude. Brother Mason Woodfin read from Psalms 100 this morning, and repeating there in verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." To give God the gratitude and the thanksgiving for everything that he has given to us, which is not only to us, but to all of the world, to all of the universe, the life that it is. And that emotion of gratitude. Number 949, "I will enter his gates." As we talked about being nearer to God, we have a longing to be with him. In Psalms chapter 42, beginning of verse 1 there, it says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" See, when we worship, we don't only just worship here, but we worship God with our lives, with our daily walks of life. Now, true worship is with us in the world, we can worship God. And we have that idea of a desire and a longing to be with him, to be nearer to him and be drawn closer to God. Number 843, "As a deer pants for the water." I would say probably one of the most common, the most seen, and most repetitive emotion that we have, at least for myself, and I see it in you so often, is the emotion of joy. Of joy and gladness. Joy, rejoicing. In Psalms chapter 5 and verse 11 it says, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you." I think that it is very important. It's very common practice for us to rejoice in worship. And we should have rejoicing in worship. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice." In James chapter 5 and verse 13 it says, "If anyone is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is happy, let him sing. And if anyone is happy and he is singing, let your face show it," right? If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. We should rejoice. We should have joy and gladness that we have come to this house of worship. Let's sing "Rejoice in the Lord Always." The rejoicing worshiper. Do you worship God because you have to, or you do it because you want to? I got to go to church today, and we're going to have to go in there, and then maybe he won't be too long and we'll get out of there pretty quick because I want to beat everybody down to 306 because today's brisket day and I don't want to run out before I get there. The joy comes because we get to worship God. We have the privilege to stand before God. You think about that, just how we get to go see the King. I can call him up. I can talk to him. I can talk to him going down the road. I can talk to him at the house. I get to talk to the King. I get to talk to the living and the one and only God. You see, joy comes on both sides of worship. It is the catalyst of worship, the reason as to what gets everything going, as to why we worship. It is the result of worship. I'm going to start worshiping because I'm happy and because I'm joyful and because I'm thankful to God. And then I'm going to be joyous because I got to do it. It's on both ends of it. Joy makes us worship, and joy comes from worship. And see, that joy of worship does not come from how we worship. Not from what we did here, but rather it is delighted in the fact that we are delighted in who we are worshiping, that we get to worship God. And I think so many times we take that for granted, that we are chosen enough to be worshiping God. Remember, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. We take that for granted too. We should be joyful. We should be rejoicing always that we get to worship God Almighty. And we have numerous reasons to rejoice, just as there are numerous emotions within worship, and that this is by no means an exhaustive list of these things, nor is this an exhaustive list of the reasons as to why we rejoice, but I was trying to keep this in a time constraint type thing so we can get to 306 before they run out of brisket. And one of the reasons that I rejoice is the fact that He lives. That He lives. He is not here, but He is risen, just as He said He would do. Come and see where He lay, they said in Matthew. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. For Him to die on that cross, that was great and that was wonderful. But for Him to rise up and live again, to have that conquering over death, nobody ever done that before. Not like that. That's a reason to rejoice. A reason to rejoice is because He lives. Number 220. I might say this a little bit faster than traditional. I rejoice because He lives, and I rejoice because I am redeemed. That I am redeemed. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. I am redeemed. And that is enough to rejoice. Number 579, since I have been redeemed. We'll sing first, second, and fourth verses of this song. So because He lives, because I am redeemed, and because I am redeemed, I know that I have an inheritance that waits for me. And that inheritance is a reason to rejoice. To know that God has prepared a place for us, a home in heaven with Him. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have an inheritance that doesn't fade away. You might receive an inheritance from here on earth from an unfortunate circumstance, from the passing of a loved one. But that's going to go away. It's just here momentarily and it's soon going to pass. But that inheritance of which God gave for you by the death of His Son, it's not going to ever fade away. It's going to always be there. And it's there waiting on you. You, the ones who are kept by the power of God through faith. That's there waiting for those people. Number 823. Heaven's Jubilee. That's going to be great, ain't it? That'll be wonderful. You know, that right there makes me smile every time we sing it. But without exception, the number one thing that makes me smile, the number one thing that makes me rejoice, is when the lost becomes found. In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 32, the entire chapter, Jesus gives some parables to his disciples and tells them about a sheep, about a man who had 100 sheep, and he lost one sheep, and he went out and he went through the mountains, he went through the valleys, he went everywhere he could go to find that sheep. And he found that sheep. And they rejoiced. Verse 7, he says, I tell you that in that same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. He tells of this coin that was lost, how she searched the whole house for it. When she finally found that coin, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I get pretty excited when I find a dollar in my pocket, don't you? Ain't nothing like this. When that lost son came home, and that other son was kind of upset about it, the father tells the son in verse 32, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And that's why we're throwing this party. That's why we're so excited. That's why we're rejoicing. And that's why we're happy. We're going to sing number 179 as a song of invitation. Title of it is God is Calling the Prodigal. And I can think of no better reason to rejoice than if the need be for someone who is a prodigal to come home and to be with God, to be restored to Him, to become part of that body of Christ. You can be baptized this very hour, this very moment, if you need to be. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation anyway, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing this song.